This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, it is Lee Chui Lin and I'm on Rashad. First up today, we're going to try to make sense of high-end merchandising and how it feeds into fan culture. So, of course, you can join the conversation at any point. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. All this coming your way on the evening edition.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 in the evening with Lin and Ayman, and our first story today is Popek Popek and Star Wars. So, like we said, we are going to be including Star Wars merchandise in our Name That Tune, world famous bulging BFM goodie bag for today, as well as I think over the course of the week. We're also going to be giving out movie passes. We're also going to be giving out other merch, all of which had us thinking, what is the deal with merchandise, particularly when it comes to movie franchises and Star Wars, really? So we're trying to understand why high-end merchandise in particular is being made and selling for large amounts of money. This is after an article on Vox explored the phenomenon of Star Wars merchandising.
Yeah, so the products range from simple things like, you know, t-shirts, lightsabers and action figures to more sophisticated and niche items like this $6,000 Stormtrooper armor set.
Yeah, okay.
Adidas sneakers inspired by Obi-Wan Kenobi, and also a $240 Swarovski crystal figurine of Yoda. So you can see that there's this variety of merchandise, and they're also partnering with like big brands. And I think this shows that the thinking behind merchandising has evolved in a way that sort of pushes the fan expectations of what the kind of products that they can own nowadays.
If I recall correctly from reading the article, there's also this question of the age of fandom, right? As in how old Star Wars fans are. Because unlike other newer franchises, a lot of Star Wars fans grew up with it. I mean, it was originally from, what, now 3 decades ago. So people who were teenagers then are now possibly, you know, have grown up into people who are business people, people who have disposable income and therefore can afford things like, I don't know about the $6,000 Stormtrooper set, but Adidas sneakers, right?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty doable. The idea that you might want a crystal figurine of Yoda because you're the kind of person who values Star Wars and who thinks that that's pretty and can afford that. So I do think that there is something here, not just about the limited edition nature of it or the collectability of it, but also about the literal age of the fans. You know, when you're a little bit older, you maybe just have a little bit more money to spend.
Yeah, and also related to demographic is not just their purchasing power, but also the sort of utility of these merchandise, because there's also like a Darth Vader Dutch oven and R2-D2 pots and stuff like that, which, people need to use for cooking at home and feed their families and all that. So the demographics doesn't just reflect the purchasing power, but also the kind of products that they can produce to meet the sort of like functionality in everyday life.
I genuinely wonder whether if you bought a Darth Vader Dutch oven, whether you would actually use that. a part of me thinks that people just never would. We're talking today about Star Wars merchandising, but also merchandising in general and how it's really become kind of atas, you know, it's kind of scaled upwards. And we want to know whether this is something that you have. You know, are you somebody who buys limited edition merch? What are the movies or franchises that would inspire you to actually spend this sort of money? Basically, that's what we want to know. Call us at 7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
So as always with Popek Popek, we wanted to hear what the public thought about pop culture merchandising and the price that they are willing to pay. And here's what they said, firstly, about how important pop culture merch was to them.
Well, nowadays, maybe not as important as before, but it's still important to me because I like to keep all this merchandise for myself as a collection. Quite important also.
The merchandise is important for me because, let's say, if I go into BTS concert, I get to buy all of the merch. It's like a memory. That is why it's really important for me.
Well, as an avid supporter of pop culture itself, I do occasionally dwell into, you know, getting some of this merchandise myself, but not to the point where I would be considered a collector itself.
I think merchandise culture is important for me because it's something that I like and I would like to keep it as a collection.
And here are here's the merch, basically, that fans are willing to spend on.
Well, for my fandom, the one that I really love, Harry Potter, a lot. For Harry Potter, almost anything, honestly, because like they have a lot of merch. Yeah, the one thing that I can think of really is a wand, but again, I'll spell on everything if I can.
Well, I am very much a Star Wars fan myself. I do have like lightsabers at home, you know, and such. You can call me a nerd, but yeah, you know, definitely things in regards to like Star Wars would definitely be something that is appealing to me.
The merchandise that I'll be willing to spend on is BTS albums, their concept merch, and also the BT21 merch is really cute. And all the characters are made by BTS themselves. And I think it's super duper cute because they made it and the character is represent each one of them.
Growing up, I follow Star Wars, right? Star Wars or Marvel. But I don't mind collecting Star Wars merchandise, mostly figurines and stuff.
Into streetwear clothing and also BT21. So they had a collaboration of BT21 and Antisocial, and I bought their t-shirt because it's something I like and I would pay for it.
But on the other hand, there's a lot of expensive merchandise out there as well, and here's where they would draw the line.
Well, there are a lot of expensive merchandises out there which cost much more than the price that I would pay for because I'm still a student and I have to save up to buy something I really like. Let's say, for me, I like BT21, so a plastic bag with a logo of BT21 for maybe about 200. I think it's ridiculous to buy and it's not worth it.
Anything above 1,000 ringgit. Also, yeah, I mean, I like the items, but if it's too expensive, I don't think it's worth it to buy. I don't want to spend too much. I don't think my wife would like it.
Well, I wouldn't. I don't think that's much, actually. Because if I really could, I would buy everything, yeah.
Well, I do know that there are a lot of really expensive collectibles. I mean, within reason to get them. I guess it's very subjective to each their own, you know, as to what they want to get. But I wouldn't really see myself spending anything more than 1,000 ringgit for a collectible item.
To be honest, there's BTS merch that really expensive. I'm not going to buy it. I can use my money for a better reason.
So there you have it, a collection of thoughts ranging from BTS to Harry Potter to Star Wars about what kind of merchandise people would and would not buy. So we want to hear from you when it comes to collector merchandise. What drives you and where, or do you just think it's all a grand waste of time, really? Call us and let us know, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. First up on the line with us is Sharon. Sharon, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Good evening. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Thank you.
I'm a little bit sad because I remember I sold my Joker collection.
Oh, no.
I sold it for 900. Mm-hmm. I bought it for 700. I thought I'd make a profit of it. So after 3 years, I look back and try to buy it again. It was around 2,500 now.
What made you want to sell it right now and not wait for it to like grow in its price?
Last time I buy that kind of collection because I use it as a security deposit for my financial gains. Mm-hmm. Whenever I am in trouble, instead of going to pawn shop, I will go to Facebook and sell my items and make money. Because I remember last time I used to buy a Star Wars lightsaber. I bought it for 800, and my friend told me that eventually it would 1,500. And she bought it last 10 years for about around 300 something.
Nice. So do you generally only buy things or franchises that you're a fan of? Or, you know, is it really more about being a pure collector, I suppose?
Basically, my name is Shahrin. So the rain indicates I am a Star Wars fan. Mm-hmm. basically, I buy a little bit of more of Star Wars and Batman.
Nice. Okay, Sharon, thank you so much for calling and for sharing your thoughts. If you'd like to talk to us about what you collect and why you do it and whether you think that you just want to opt out of the system entirely, do get in touch. We are also going to be speaking after this with our guest, who is Dr. Thomas Barker, the Associate Professor at the School of Media, Languages and Culture at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. That's coming your way after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:16 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Ayman, and we're talking today about merchandising. As you just heard there, it's Star Wars week, pretty much. I don't know how the other movies are going to be doing, but everybody, I think, is kind of anticipating this end of a franchise, or at least this end of a part of a franchise. Anyway,
the Skywalker saga.
Correct. Yeah. So we're talking today about merchandising with a particular eye on Star Wars, but we'd also like to hear from you in general. I mean, do you collect merch? Is it a big deal for you? Call us and let us know. In the meantime, on the line with us is Dr. Thomas Barker, Associate Professor at the School of Media, Languages and Culture at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Thomas, thanks for joining us. So to start off, what's the relationship between the Star Wars movies on one hand and then the merchandise on the other? Because it seems like merch is a particularly big thing for the Star Wars franchise.
Yeah, the Star Wars is an interesting one. It's perhaps one of the very first films that had significant merchandise attached to it. When the first film came out in 1977, they were already kind of thinking about and developing merchandise for the film. And somehow Star Wars managed to have it was a kind of right genre, had the stars, had the story, and so on and so forth. It was able to develop this fan base, and those fans were willing to purchase merchandise and other kind of paraphernalia and mementos of the film. And it became a kind of a part of the Hollywood's marketing and promotion strategy throughout the 1980s up until the present.
But I guess Star Wars is now already such a big and popular franchise. So what does merchandise add in terms of marketing today?
Well, for the studio and for the Lucasfilm, the merchandise is another revenue stream, right? Because the studios can no longer rely simply on the traditional release windows of a film. You know, you make the money in the cinema, and then it goes to home video, and then it goes to TV. You know, that was a kind of old model. And increasingly now with Star Wars will have a budget of something like $300 million. You've got these massive marketing and promotion budgets that they also have to pay for. So if you go to the cinema downtown already in KL, you can see massive installations, you know, promoting Star Wars. And so they have to generate income somehow. And if they're not making as much money at the cinema anymore, and there's no more kind of home video like VHS, then merchandise becomes one of the really important kind of revenue streams for these big studios. And conversely, it becomes an important, it becomes a way for companies like, you know, shoe companies or T-shirts or other kinds of companies to also sell product themselves, right? If you can have a Star Wars branded pair of shoes, then you are kind of almost kind of guaranteed some sales as well, because you have attached your brand to the Star Wars brand, right? Now, I guess what's interesting is that previously some of this fan or fan activity or merchandising would have been done by the fans themselves in kind of fan communities. They may have tried to purchase original items, you know, objects from the film production itself. But increasingly, the merchandising is taking over because it's become such a mass market of product. And it's perhaps less generated by fans themselves now, but increasingly generated by big business and big companies looking to make money.
Right. So how did that transition really happen then, from fans to big companies?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, Star Wars is an interesting phenomenon. Maybe Star Wars is one of the key brands here, because Star Wars, as mentioned, you know, began in 1977, and it's over 40 years old now. And so you've seen a whole generation of people grow up with Star Wars. And so people who are now in their 40s and 50s, were in some ways may have been the original Star Wars fans back in the 70s and 80s. I mean, they're now middle-aged, they have family, they have children of their own, and they perhaps don't necessarily want, you know, tacky plastic kind of objects anymore. They want something more substantial, they want something more kind of unique, they have money to spend. And so you may be seeing this kind of broadening of the merchandise product range, right? You will still get the plastic action figures, but at the same time you'll get $900, $1,000, you know, pairs of shoes or ovens or whatever it is that these kinds of more discerning fans can spend money on.
And who do you think is the target demographic here for those high-end merchandise? Because we're talking about things like a $6,000 Stormtrooper armor.
Yeah, certainly not me. yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I imagine that, you know, there are lots of fans out there who have money to spend, right? They kind of build their social life around fandom. Maybe they attend, functions and forums. Maybe they do cosplay. And there's a group of people out there who do have money and who are wanting to spend this kind of amount of money on kind of household objects almost, or lifestyle products that are branded with Star Wars. Rather than going to IKEA to buy your pots and pans, why not go to Star Wars and buy Star Wars pots and pans? You know, rather than going to Nike and buying some generic pair of Nike shoes, why not buy the Star Wars Nike pair of shoes, right, and kind of show your fandom? So, I mean, maybe you also see a similar phenomenon with Harry Potter too, right, that there's also similar fan consumption going on in the Harry Potter community as well. That's not just basic items, but more, you know, bigger household or kind of lifestyle items that someone can populate their life with to really announce their fandom, their love of this particular brand.
So I guess the other side of this, right, is have the commercial benefits of merchandising actually influenced decision-making in movies, for example, you know, through plot or characters or even costume design?
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. I mean, these are all... I mean, don't forget the Hollywood studios in particular are highly, sensitive operations, and they're very careful about trying to develop these avenues and these opportunities for further exploitation, right? And you'll see also with the Hollywood studios in the last, you know, five or so years, this real focus on big blockbuster merchandisable films. The whole Transformers, the whole Avengers, those kind of series of films from the Marvel and the DC universes, and so on and so forth. They are really part of the marketing strategy and the business strategy of these big studios at the moment. So maybe you're seeing fewer films come out of these big studios, but you're seeing these bigger tentpole productions. And those tentpole productions are managed and designed from the very beginning to have merchandise attached. So you really, really see that. By contrast, you look at something maybe like... did Game of Thrones have a lot of merchandise? Maybe not as much, right? It had a different kind of business model behind it, but certainly for these big studios, Warner Brothers and Columbia and so on and so forth, merchandise is a real central part of their economic planning.
Mm-hmm. On a side note, right, sometimes you do also see brands appear in movies. How well does that work as a marketing strategy?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's hard to say. I mean, just because James Bond, you know, looks at his Rolex watch, or you know, the character in Wirra, you know, eats that bread product, do we immediately go out to the shop and go, yes, I want that bread because the character ate it? It's perhaps not so much that kind of direct relationship, but I think it's also that idea of advertising, right? That you remind the audience about a certain brand's presence and a certain brand's kind of association it has with those characters or that film or that environment. So, you know, when James Bond looks at his Rolex watch and drives his Audi car or whatever it is, we associate those brands kind of subconsciously with the kind of the suave coolness of James Bond. And so maybe when we go out to buy a car, you know, it's kind of there in the back of our mind somehow. Of course, I mean, it can also backfire. It's, you know, product placements also can be a strange one. It can be very clunky sometimes, and it can look really awkward in films. Wirra is one example. But also, it can also be parodied. If you remember Wayne's World from many years ago, there was a lot of kind of parodying of product placement, even though it was product placement itself. So it's also a means that film producers use to get additional money or sponsorship into the film. And it's a way of trying to mitigate costs, right? Because the film production is a very risky business, right? There's no guarantee that your film will ever make money. And so producers are always looking for ways to reduce their own risk and their own cost. and also to increase the potential revenue of the film. So you reduce cost by getting someone to give you $10,000 to put a pair of shoes in the film, or you earn more money afterwards by creating merchandise, for example.
So what direction do you see movie merchandising strategies moving towards in the future? Earlier you mentioned tacky plastic figurines. Is there no returning to them?
No, I mean, I think the tacky plastic stuff will always be there, unfortunately. Even though we really should be much more environmentally conscious, right, about these kinds of consumption choices. And how many, you know, plastic cups do we need to collect from the cinema? But, I mean, it seems to be a part of the film business, right, that's been around for a long time and probably will be here for a much longer as well. So there's probably no escaping it. But I think what you're seeing with this Star Wars example is a kind of much more kind of sophisticated, maybe marketing, kind of new avenues of merchandising. And we'll see if this is successful for Disney and Lucasfilm and Star Wars, then you may see it happening for other things. But it may also be, you know, highly dependent on the film, on the brand itself, right? So Star Wars, I think, has a kind of unique position within this pop culture universe. Will people go out and buy Avengers ovens and pots and pans? Maybe not, but it seems that they might do that with Star Wars. So it may depend also on the brand and on the film franchise, whether it is suitable to certain products or not, right?
Mm. Thomas, thank you so much for speaking with us today. You just heard from Dr. Thomas Barker, Associate Professor at the School of Media, Languages and Cultures at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, talking to us really about merchandising, particularly high-end merchandising, because we are seeing things like Star Wars Dutch ovens and
$6,000 stormtrooper outfits.
Yeah, that's kind of the upper end of everything. But in general, we're seeing a lot more collector's items and merchandise hooking up with these sort of big streetwear brands. Mm-hmm. And so the price of everything is going up. And we just want to know, is this sort of a marketplace that you're participating in? Do you also do collectibles or do you just think, nah, not for me? Call us and let us know, 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.